How do you like me now? Welcome to the podcast that always takes it there. I am your host, T, from the infamous tblog.com, and now I reside here on the T podcast to entertain all of you. Some say I have a way with words. Some call me the Tom Brady of blogging, the Conor McGregor of podcasting, the White Tupac of screenwriting, the King of the Bean, aka Boston, the man who is always, always on his grown man shit. Thank you for tuning in. Now let me do what I do here, and that is to entertain the shit out of all of you. Today is Wednesday, November 20th, 2019. Welcome to the T Podcast. All right, this is a movie review. You know how I do this here. This is the Ford versus Ferrari movie review. Ford versus Ferrari in 15 minutes. I come here, I give you my review of the latest blockbusters, of the latest movies that I did or did not like in under 15 minutes. That is my promise to all of you. T style, of course, my background. I'm a movie fan. I go to the movies 40 times a year. I watch a shit ton at home. My screenwriting background. I love movies. I know movies. I'm here to let you know how much I love movies and know movies. These reviews, I tell you, key parts of the story, the characters, the whole movie itself, and of course, spoilers, spoilers, spoilers. Ford versus Ferrari. Right off the bat, right off jump, this is one of the top three movies I saw in 2019. I'm going to put Joker at number one. I'm going to put Ford versus Ferrari at number two. I'm going to put Avengers Endgame at number three. That are the top three so far. Going into Oscar season, I think the Joker will get nominated, as I said before, some Oscars. I think Endgame with the 10 category, I don't know about those big budget comic book movies, unlike the Joker, which is a low budget comic book movie. I don't know what kind of nominations they'll get. Ford versus Ferrari, if it's done right, should go like this. Nominations. Don't know about the wins, because it wasn't the best Matt Damon and Christian Bale performances, but even with them in any movie, you're still getting one hell of a performance. In this case, two great performances. Here's how this movie should get nominated, if all is right in the world. And usually, nothing is ever right in the world. This movie should get a Best Picture nomination. It should get a Best Director nomination for James Mangold. I love James Mangold. I am a fan of his since Walk the Line. Obviously, I just named a couple of comic book movies. This guy directed The Wolverine and Logan. The Wolverine after Wolverine, the first fucking movie, which was The Wolverine, well, I blocked it out, Origins, Wolverine Origins, which was shit. James Mangold took over, sent Wolverine to Japan, did a great job. Then he went even further, aged Wolverine, and did Logan. He was the old man Logan character. I think Logan got fucked a couple years ago, back in 2017. Absolutely should have been nominated. James Mangold, Hugh Jackman, Patrick Stewart, and even that girl, little girl Daphne Keene, they all got fucked. That movie should have been nominated. Anyway, James Mangold, I'm a fan of his. I like the way he shoots. I like his style. He should get nominated for Best Director. Don't know if this movie got Best Screenplay, Best Adapted Screenplay. I think he was one of the writers involved with it. I don't think it was something that could get written on a script. I don't think it'll go down that road. I do think, again, Best Picture nomination, Best Director nomination. I think the last two that I'm going to throw out there will be, because, again, even though it wasn't his best, but still, it's still very good. Matt Damon, because he was the lead, so he would get Best Actor nomination. And Christian Bale, even though it wasn't his best, still it's Christian Bale, and he's one hell of a fucking actor. He should get Best Supporting Actor, because he was the second character to Matt Damon's character. So basically, Matt Damon was the star of this movie. Matt Damon, who, again, in every movie that he's ever been in, always, from his Good Will Hunting days to Saving Private Ryan, to where he turns in, it's something to see. I always said that Matt Damon was the actor and Ben Affleck was the celebrity. But Matt Damon in this movie plays Carroll Shelby. Shelby Mustang, Shelby Colby, you've heard of him. You know that name tied to cars. Christian Bale, again, without knowing much before this movie, he plays Ken Miles, a race car driver. And beyond those two, you got John Berthenol, who is a phenomenal actor that played Shane in The Walking Dead, and also The Punisher, Frank Castle, which he got fucking screwed for them canceling that fucking show with that Disney Netflix deal, falling to shit. He is a very underrated actor. He plays Lee Iacocca. And then Josh Lucas, who is pretty much the antagonist in this movie, played Leo Beebe, who worked for Ford. And a couple other characters in there, too. Like, you got the guy that played Henry Ford II. I forget the guy, not a really known actor. And the guy that plays Enzo Ferrari, another Italian guy, because obviously you need the head of Ferrari. So that's your all-star cast. Mangold behind the wheel. pun intended, shooting this movie. Now, Ford versus Ferrari goes like this. I am a car guy. I love cars. I talked about Wesley Snipes, my car on here before. I grew up in a world where people were trying to hook up cars as best as they could. People were stealing cars, getting the cars fucking painted, getting it fucking tinted up, getting it rimmed up, getting bass tubes and subwoofers. I always did it for show. I always talked about Japanese cars and their precision on top of what the car looked like. And I guess there's obviously not guess. I know muscle cars, American cars, are more for performance and muscle, their speed, their power, right? So this movie basically had Ford at the time, after it was like in the early 60s. The movie takes place about 1964, 1965, where every time Ford was just struggling for, known for what they were making after the war. And, you know, they made actually during the war, they made bombers and whatever else they had to make for airplanes and parts. So Henry Ford Sr. Was known for being the guy that everybody went through to get their cars back then. At this point, in the mid-60s, Henry Ford II has taken over and Ford is struggling. They're not making any type of money in the cars. Nobody wants them anymore. Lee Iacocca basically comes with the idea of, hey, look at Ferrari. Look how sexy they are. Everybody wants to be able to get a Ferrari, but they can't afford it. We need to do something like that. And he's talking about, let's do like a sports division. And how do we get that off the ground from a marketing stance? And that's where they think we got to beat them at Le Mans. Ford will need to beat Ferrari in a race that Ferrari's won like the last 3 years in a row. So you enter Carroll Shelby and Miles. Basically, they're working together on a race because, you know, Shelby couldn't drive anymore. He was a race car driver, just like Miles was too. So as Shelby made peace that he couldn't drive anymore due to health issues, Ken Miles, more of a mechanic, he got into the racing game a little later in life, and he's a phenomenal driver, but he's too hot-headed. So we have this quick little interaction with them at the beginning that shows how hot-headed he is, and he throws a wrench at Shelby. So while that's happening, Shelby goes back to making cars on his own, classic cars for like rich people, for actors and whatnot. They come there, then Lee Iacocca, with the idea that he had proposed to Ford, comes and talks to Shelby. And he's like, hey, this is what we want to do. And Shelby's like, you're fucking crazy. But in order to do that, you know, they sign a deal with him to get a car division made. He hasn't decided what yet, so he's developed cars for Ford. And then he goes, I got the guy, and he goes and approaches Miles, and they go back and forth, and they're basically like, there's no way we're going to beat fucking Ferrari. So how that works is this. Before we actually get down that road, I left something out. Ferrari at the time was struggling for money. So before they even went with the idea of let's get to both Shelby and Miles, they went to Ferrari. This is Lee Iacocca and Ford. They were going to give them money because they were losing money, Ferrari. And then Enzo Ferrari, the head of it, was like kind of keep them there. And then I'm going to Fiat behind the back of Ford. And Fiat ends up buying into Ferrari. And Ferrari basically tells Lee Iacocca to go fuck yourself, go back and tell Ford to go fuck yourself. This is where the idea that he pitched before, saying we have to beat them at the race, this is when Henry Ford II says, yep, let's do it. And that's when they approach Shelby, who then approaches Miles. So here we are now all caught up where Shelby and Miles agree to do this. Beebe, who is not a big fan of Lee Iacocca's idea, who's also not a big fan of Shelby, definitely does not like Miles, is a type of race car driver that is unorthodox. He is not clean cut. He doesn't like that. Miles is basically trying to, at the time, before Shelby comes and gets him, tells his wife, yeah, I know I started late. I can't keep the garage open later in life as a driver. And he has his son around. He wants to teach his son how to be a man, basically. And his son stays there the entire time. So they go through Shelby's division of building cars. And Miles is their driver. They test the shit out of a few cars. They go back and forth. And as this is happening, you're seeing the formation of the Shelby line of cars. You're seeing the Ford Mustang. They initially pitched the Ford Mustang out there, Ford. And then Shelby came on board and took that model. And they were honing it for the race for Le Mans. Le Mans is a 24-hour race. It isn't your typical race. Now, me personally, like I said, I love cars. I never got into the professional race car element. I don't like NASCAR. I think it's boring as shit. Street racing, Fast and Furious movies, driving through the street fast myself or on the highway. That shit I like. I don't like cars just going around and around and around for fucking a billion hours and maybe there's a car crash here and there. Le Mans, which I didn't know nothing about until I saw this movie, is a 24-hour race, yes, but each lap, I think, is an 8-mile lap. It goes through the roads in France, so it's not just on a track. It starts on a track and goes off, so there's a certain stretch, and he actually, Ken Miles shows his son his plan on what he's doing out there on the race. Now, there is some innuendo. There's some hidden message behind there. At some point, when they're testing the cars before they go off to Le Mans, Shelby is with Miles, and Miles is racing, and the brakes start to go, and the son and his wife is there, and the son sees that, and he crashes, but he had a flame-repelling suit on. He came out, they saved it, but the son was like, you know, thinks something's going to happen. He keeps on breaking up the brakes, blah, blah, blah. So now BB has his way and comes in and tells Shelby that they're not going to use Miles as the race car driver. So Shelby has to deliver that news to Ken Miles. You're sitting here, you're not going, and they didn't like that. They go off to the 1965, I believe, Le Mans, and Ford had a fast car, but it was a different driver. It wasn't Ken Miles. They lose to Ferrari. Ferrari won yet again. Being bought out by Fiat, they still can compete. They come back. Shelby basically goes to Henry Ford II saying, look, I need to have complete control. We didn't win because we're going to have the right driver. We need Ken Miles. They go. He goes back to Ken Miles, begs Ken Miles to come back. They get into a little fist fight on the lawn, but they're still friends. Shows how close they are. He agrees to come back. They take that car that almost won the race without him as the driver, and they add to it. They make it lighter. They make it faster. Now they finish building the car. Now it's a full year later. Now they're ready for Le Mans. They go there. It's basically everybody's talking about Ford. Ford is a three-man team. Ferrari's a three-man team. I believe everyone had to have three race car drivers and three cars on the track. So being the driver that he is, he goes up against Ferrari, Ken Miles, now in the Ford, and he's driving. He starts off. The door's not closing correctly. You actually have to run to the car to start the race, and then you gas it and you go. Ferrari, the main driver, actually wrecks his car on the first day. Ford kind of gets the lead. Ferrari gets another car. They come back into it. Ferrari keeps it close. Ken Miles gets to the point of where he just pretty much blows them up. BB, Lee Iacocca, for the second, they're all there. They're all watching the race. As Ken Miles takes a large lead, BB comes down and he actually convinces Henry Ford the second at first, saying, wouldn't it be nice if all three cars in Ford come across the finish line at the same time? He tells Shelby that. Shelby's like, get off my fucking course. Like, don't talk to my driver. I'll talk to my driver. He tells Ken Miles what they want him to do. Ken, he's like, you're leaving it up to me. Ken has to make the choice of whether or not he could just win the race outright by blowing out Ferrari. At this point, he has it locked. Or he could be a team player, showing that he's not the hot-headed that he once was, and to not get his friend in trouble. Knowing if he did that, if he didn't cross the finish line with the other two Ford cars, that Shelby would probably lose his business and would not be making cars for Ford anymore. So Ken gets in the car. Ken has his perfect course that he promised his son. He's going super fast. He breaks all kinds of records by doing that course in that one 8-mile lap. And Ford thinks, BB, all of them, like, what the fuck is he doing? Is he going to not listen to us? Then as he's driving, he realizes that he's a good friend. He's a good man. He wants longevity. He'll have a job. It'll be for Shelby. He slows it down. The other two Ford drivers pull up next to him, and all three cross the finish line, winning Le Mans. Turns out there's a technicality. Because he did not overlap in time, and all three can't be counted as that. The next car, McLaren, was up behind them, wasn't even Ferrari. They gave the race to McLaren because of that technicality of that tie. So he technically did not win that race. It pissed him off, but he told Shelby, you didn't promise me the win, you promised me the race. They bonded. The movie has a little bit of a jump where it's Shelby back at the base, back in the desert with Miles. Miles' son's there, and they're testing cars again. Miles hops in, and they want to get ready and obviously win Le Mans again and again. Now that they know they have the car, they have the driver. He goes out into the desert. He's just doing a regular drive. His son's watching him from a distance, and he smashes. And you see a big smoke cloud. Ken Miles died testing that car after Le Mans. And obviously, Shelby had to go talk to the son, and he goes to the house, and he tells the son a story about when he threw the wrench at him at the beginning of the movie, and he gives the son the wrench, saying, your dad was a great man. And he's like, yeah, he was your friend. And you get a tear in the eye of Shelby, and then they put end graphics up that they went on for to win the next three Le Mans, that Shelby and Miles actually built the car in the race formula to now take down Ferrari, and Ford became what we know, not today, they're not as big as they once were, but the Ford Mustang, the Shelby Cobra, that whole line, they got into the race car business thanks to those two men, and they helped add that to Ford, and they defeated Ferrari. So Ford versus Ferrari, Ford won, ladies and gentlemen. Great movie. I said it before, and I'll say it again, Matt Damon and Christian Bale, great actors. I think for my generation, my fans, the people I'm fans of, Matt Damon, by far, Edwin Norton, Christian Bale, Joaquin Phoenix, even before the Joker, and John Bernthal, he needs to be in more stuff. Those guys I really like, I think, from the guys that I like from my generation, you know, that as, you know, Pacino, De Niro, as they all get older. I think this is what I have. This is my generation. These are the Oscar winners. They get paired up with great directors, great screenwriters, and they make quality movies like this. So Ford versus Ferrari, the second best movie I've seen this year. Joker, distant number one, though, as great as Joker was. Joker was great. Ford versus Ferrari was really good. Endgame was good. Everything else was like, eh, for this past year. Not a good year for movies as the year's coming to an end at the end of November here. And obviously the Oscar pushes will start now going into early next year. So Ford versus Ferrari, go see it. Great fucking movie. I highly recommend it. All right, Hans is coming in. One of the great movie scorers of our generation. Where to find me? On Instagram, two accounts, the_T_podcast, all the podcast related stuff. T-blog, all one word, for some cool pics. On Twitter, I'm on T-blog account, all one word. The Facebook page is the T-blog page. There's a dash in there, T-blog on Facebook. And of course, you can email me anything you want, movies and beyond, at t@t-blogblawg.com. And of course, you can find me here twice a week, three times a week, with the world's greatest co-host, B-Lo, the co-host. And of course, you can find me, go back, and you can see all my old stuff, all my screenwriting, why I am the man I am today when it comes to movies on T-Blog. There's 400 volumes there, tblog.com. That's the show, everyone. Until next time, always take it there.